Okay, good evening, everyone. Good to have you here tonight. We are ready for Scripture Memory. What is this, night five in Scripture Memory? Okay, night number five. And we've done 3 weeks worth of passages related to God's love. The first six verses called Six Keys, if you remember. We are loved by Jesus. We are loved by the Father. We are loved through the Spirit. We are loved. There's no greater love. Those are the first four. Then we have key number five is God is love. And key number six, no separation from love. So we have six keys there related to the first 3 weeks, the first six verses. Last week we introduced the first two verses of our next section, verses that relate to God's plan of salvation. God's plan of salvation, all are lost, all have sinned. And we'll gain two more verses tonight. All are lost and all have sinned. And all are lost is Isaiah 53:6, and all have sinned is Romans 3:23. All right, so how are we tonight for recitation? How are we tonight for reciting these verses from last Sunday night? Isaiah 53:6. Who has Isaiah 53:6 down? One, two, three, four. A few, okay. Isaiah 53:6. All right. Would you like to recite Isaiah 53:6 for us? No? Okay. Who would like to recite Isaiah 53:6 for us? All have sinned. Or, I'm sorry, all are lost. All are lost. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Violet, do you have that one down? All are lost? Starts off with, all we like sheep, something like that. Oh, she's doing the other one. Okay, I'll get that one next. I'll get that one next. Doug, what's this one say?
All of us like sheep have gone astray. Mm-hmm. Let us turn to his own way. But the Lord has caused iniquity of us all.
Excellent. Excellent. We can clap for Doug, too. We normally are clapping for the kids, but that's okay. That's okay. Excellent. And you know what? Well, okay, we'll do these 2 weeks, and then we'll back up and we'll get the first six, because I think that's where we've really done real well. So we can back up and get those, and then we'll see. I know Christopher can. We'll see if anyone can do all eight verses tonight. Just rattle them off and run through them. So, and maybe in two more weeks, when we finish our 6 week block, I'd have some prizes ready for folks that can do all 12 verses in that. All right. So all are lost. We also know in the second verse that all have sinned. All have sinned. And this is the easier one because it's from the New Testament and it's shorter. All right. And this is Romans 3:23. Who has this one down? Okay. And this is where Violet's going to try. Romans 3:23, Violet. Go ahead. That's it. The glory of God. All right. Who else has this one? Romans 3:23. This is an important one. This is an important one. Zoe, you have it. And Mateo or Andres, you have it. Can you recite it, please, Andres? There you go. Okay. Thank you. Zoe? Oh, come on, you can say it. Violet said it. Andre said it. There you go. All right. And the other Zoe, you have it too? There you go. All right, we all got it down, don't we? Now, when it says, for all have sinned, does that include me? Does that include you? Does that include all of us? Everyone, that's right. But, what if somebody says, I'm not a sinner, I'm a good person? Okay, do you know how to answer that? Yeah, you're a good person, all right, but you've still sinned. Okay, we've got to understand that. All have sinned. Everybody sinned. No one is 100% perfect their entire life. Only Jesus Christ lived an entire life without any sin whatsoever. That's important because even one sin means we need a Savior. Even one sin. Okay, so I trust that everyone here will join me in agreement that that we're sinners. All right? And if you want to deny that, then you just told me a lie, which is a sin, so we covered that. All right? We're all sinners, and I appreciate that. So all are lost, and all have sinned. Okay. Now, going back to the first verses, there's six of them, six keys. We are loved by Jesus. We are loved by the Father. We are loved through the Spirit. There's no greater love. God is love, and there's no separation from love. Do you remember these verses? I got them up on the screen, so you can cheat a little bit that way. John 15:9. I did turn off the actual verses themselves. We'll just compact it there. And you have the addresses, but not the text. Who remembers John 15:9, that we're loved by Christ? Zoe? Excellent. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Excellent. And we're loved by the Father, John 3:16. Who remembers that one? Who's got John 3:16 down? The other Zoe. Kenny. Oh, you got to speak louder than that. I'm hard of hearing. Try again. There you go. But have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. So who's whoever? Whoever believes in Him. Could that be anybody? Whoever? Yeah, that could be me, that could be you, that could be all of us, right? Whoever, I hope it is all of us. Whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How long does everlasting life last? Yeah, is that a trick question? Okay. Everlasting, forever. It doesn't stop. And you have it today. Isn't that cool? You're not going to get that when you get to heaven. You have it now. In fact, that's how you get to heaven, because you have it now. You have everlasting life. What a blessing. We are loved through the Spirit. Romans 5:5. Who remembers this one? I haven't called on Fallon yet. Fallon, what's Romans 5:5 say? Love does not disappoint, or something else does not disappoint? Hope does not disappoint. Well, okay, there could be a translation here. Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint. Hope. Okay, in most translations I'm looking at, it's hope. It's Elpis does not disappoint. Yeah. Okay. No, that's all right. No, that's awesome. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's outstanding. 3 Timothy, okay. Oh, are we clapping for Fallon? I missed that, okay. There's no greater love. No greater love. John 15:13. All right, Andres, no greater... Okay, Andres... No? Okay, we'll try Sharon then. No greater love. There you go. Excellent. John 15:13. All right. God is love. 1 John 4:16. Who still has this one? Now see, the point is, we don't just memorize for next Sunday so that Pastor Bob thinks we're cool and everybody claps. Okay? The point is you memorize this and you review it and you review it and you review it so you keep it next Sunday, the Sunday after, forever. All right? That's why you review these week after week after week. 1 John 4:16, God is love. Jacob.
God is love, and whoever abides in God abides in God.
And God abides in Him. All right? Does it start with "for God is love"? It starts with a phrase before "for God is love." We have come to know and have believed. There you go. There you go. That's the one. Okay, thank you. All right. Now, with Romans 8:39, many of you, went ahead and added verse 38 in front of verse 39, and simply because it was easier to start with a whole sentence instead of just starting with the word nor. All right. I was okay starting nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. But many folks wanted to add verse 38 to verse 39. That's fine. We didn't disallow that. But there is no separation from love. And this is one of the most beautiful verses in the whole Bible. Who memorized either 38 and 39 or just 39 by itself? And who still has it tonight? Okay. Luke, you want to recite that for us? Amen. There you are. All right. I don't understand how people with that verse in their Bible can think they can lose their salvation. It just boggles the mind. What separates us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Nothing. Not us, not even God Himself. Nothing can separate us. And that's such a beautiful promise and an encouragement and a strength. All right. Can anyone besides Christopher recite all 8 verses tonight? Radley, you can do all 8. Fallon can do all 8. Well, see, you're teaching the scripture classes on Sunday mornings, too. That, yeah. All right. Christopher, can you stand and recite for us? Okay. That's one. That's two. That's three. That's four. That's five. That's six. All right, the two for this week. All right, that's five. All right, that's the next one, last one. Romans 3:23. There you are. All right. That's all 8. Now, in 2 more weeks, we should be able to run through all 12 and recite from top to bottom, 1 through 12, and have all those verses ready to go and in our thinking and in our heart. All right. And I'll see. I got 2 weeks to figure out what the prizes are going to be that we'll distribute for that. That's a blessing. That is an absolute blessing. Appreciate that. Now, you know why I have such a terrible time memorizing Scripture? Because it's just too easy for me with Christopher living in my house. I say, Chris, what does that verse say? And he tells me, oh, yeah, that's right. I don't have to memorize anything. All right. We got 2 new verses to learn tonight. Before we do those 2 verses, though, I do want to read another chapter here. And try to encourage us. This chapter is called Plan. Now that you are interested and have a real desire to memorize the Word of God, the next important matter is the plan. What portion of the Scriptures will you undertake to memorize? This is a very important step because sometimes disappointment in a certain plan may turn a person off from memorizing Scripture. Remember, however, that no plan will automatically assure you that you will succeed in storing up God's Word. You must put out the mental energy no matter what plan you follow. It is a universal fact that unless we have a workable plan, including a specific recitation schedule, we will not get very far with memorizing Scripture, irrespective of how highly we may value it or how urgently we may desire to do it. During 10 years of university and seminary, I asked a large number of students and faculty what plan they followed in committing Scripture to memory. Probably more than 90% had no plan. But we seldom accomplish anything worthwhile in any field of endeavor without a definite plan. This is true in business, this is true in school and at home, and it is certainly true in our spiritual progress. One plan that some people follow is that of memorizing certain verses in connection with daily Bible reading and quiet time. Significant verses are checked or underlined, and an effort is made to memorize them. This seems to work for some people very well, but it may lack sufficient organizational structure to be followed for a long time. Memorizing certain chapters or an entire book of the Bible is often undertaken. When implemented with systematic effort, such a plan has some obvious advantages in that you follow the sequence of thought and learn the verses in their context. There is difficulty sometimes in trying to lay hold of the exact verse in the chapter that you desire. John Ruskin's mother selected certain chapters that he was required to memorize. Among them was the 119th Psalm. Well, there's 176 verses in that chapter. She succeeded in making him memorize it, and not only that, it had to be done word perfect and recited with expression so as to indicate that he really understood what he had memorized. David Pent thrills people at some of the conventions by proving to them that he knows the entire New Testament from memory. Can you imagine if you have the entire New Testament memorized and then... And then you make a game out of it, make a contest out of it, and someone throws out a verse and you've got it. You've got it down. You've got the whole New Testament memorized. Francis Ridley Havergal, as I have mentioned before, memorized the entire New Testament and several Old Testament books. And this is, an author of many of our hymn texts, by the way. I don't think it's an accident that many of our hymn writers and composers had such a love and a memory related to the Scriptures. Francis Ridley Havergal memorized the entire New Testament and several Old Testament books. There are many others who have excelled in memorizing the Word of God in this manner. Third method. Typing or printing the desired Bible verses on small cards has been used quite successfully in memorizing the Word. And of course, that's the method we're following. You should hopefully have your own cards that you've written out, okay, or typed. But writing is better than typing, as long as you're not cutting and pasting. Okay. Actually, if you're going to type it, type it word for word, letter for letter. That way you got it engraved in your thinking. The scripture text is printed generally on one side and the reference on the other. Many individuals have developed such a system for themselves, but it has been best perfected by the Navigators and the Young Life campaign, who have arranged the verses under topical headings and assembled them in packs for handy use. And it's basically that method that we're following in this course, because we had 3 weeks of six keys, and we had 3 weeks of God's plan for salvation, and we're going to have topics following that, and we'll kind of go module by module through each of these topics. Scripture Memory Fellowship has Bible verses printed in attractive and handy memory books for all age levels. Each book bears a title which represents the subject covered in the book, and the verses in the book are arranged in poetry-like style and set under instructive topics or themes. The scriptures organized under headings enables a person to associate them with a particular topic and to be helped in recalling them more readily. By the way, if you also memorize verses in batches as it relates to particular topics, then you have topics to turn to when situations in life relate to that. If you need promises, if you need encouragement, if you need comfort, well, it's good to have a module with, a half a dozen verses that all relate to that particular item. And so it's very helpful to use this method here as well. Let's skip down through when he talks about the advantages. Although there are certain advantages in learning the Scripture by chapter or by books, as stated above, the fact is that in our everyday life we seldom use them that way. We do not normally recall large portions of the Bible in the practical situations that arise. This is true in the experience of children as well as adults. We generally lay hold of just a verse or two, whether it be in that moment of need or in that unexpected opportunity for witness. The main purpose of memorizing Scripture is certainly not just for the sake of knowledge, but in order that we might be better equipped to draw on those Scriptures in our real-life situations. A good example of this is how the Lord Himself used the Scriptures. Having been without food for 40 days, He was challenged by Satan to change a stone into bread in order to satisfy His hunger. Christ did not respond by reciting the entire book of Deuteronomy, nor did He even quote a chapter. He simply seized upon a part of Deuteronomy 8:3 and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." When Satan, who apparently knows Scripture and knows its power perhaps better than we do, when Satan resorted to using it, our Lord simply recalled another Scripture and said, "It is written again." So by his skillful use of the sword of the Spirit, he soon cut Satan down. In reading the book of Acts, it is amazing to see how much of God's word the Lord's disciples had stored up and how they used it after the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, certainly appreciate that. And it's useful. As I said, when faced with a temptation, you can hopefully have a verse that immediately applies. If, you're reaching into the cookie jar, you might remember, what verse might you remember when you're reaching into the cookie jar and your mom and dad said, no cookies until after dinner? Man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by cookies alone. That's not what I was thinking of, but try again. What else might I have been thinking of? There could be a couple of options here. You might think of children obey your parents. There's a bingo right there, yeah. Or even beyond that, you could think of one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. That's right. If you're taking something that you're not allowed to take, that's stealing, isn't it? So there's temptations. And there's scriptures that answer those temptations. If there's a moment when maybe you're less than kind to your siblings, okay, or maybe you're even fighting with your siblings, arguing in a verbal or physical fashion, what scripture verses might come to your mind that would resolve this temptation? Molly knows this application well. Molly has two sisters. Yeah, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. That's right. As well as children obey your parents, because how many times have your parents said, quit fighting? All right.
Don't cause another one to stumble.
Don't cause another one to stumble. Okay. So far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. You know, you can't control what the other person, what their attitude's like or what they're doing, but you can control what you're doing. So far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Okay. What about if you're thinking, you're kind of in a bad mood and kind of a little bit grumpy and thinking, I don't want to go to church today. Is there a scripture memory verse that might answer that could come to your thinking? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Yeah, this is the habit of some. Okay. Yeah. So you see there's value in this. Okay, husbands and wives have value in this. There's adult temptations that hit marriage, and there's verses for that. There's workplace verses, you know, that dealing with masters and slaves. And as rough as your employer might be, it's still not a master-slave situation, might seem like it. But you're not in bondage. They're not whipping you, except maybe figuratively. Okay, so but those verses are encouragements, aren't they, about submitting as unto the Lord? Okay. There's value in scripture memory, and hopefully we see this. Okay, you ready for your verses for this week? All right, let's look at some verses for this week. Still dealing with God's plan of salvation. We've covered all are lost and all have sinned. What's the result of sin? So the next verse is sin ends in death. That's your topic. Sin ends in death. And your verse is Romans 6:23. Sin ends in death, Romans 6:23. And when you write it out on your card, that's 1/5/1. God's plan of salvation, sin ends in death. 1/5/1. It's our first year of scripture memory. It's our fifth week. It's the first verse for the fifth week. Sin ends in death, Romans 6:23. And then the second verse for the week, God's plan of salvation, 1/5/2. Jesus died to bring you to God. Jesus died to bring you to God. And this is a fun one. This is our first one from 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18. Jesus died to bring you to God. And I don't know about the folks you encounter, but it's interesting in that I encounter people who have the craziest ideas why Jesus died. And I'm sure they heard this from the world, or they heard this from a comparative religions course, or they heard it from some other anti-biblical tradition of whatever sort. Jesus died because of political considerations, or religious jealousy, or what have you. They got all kinds of reasons. And failing to recognize that He is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He was delivered over by the predetermined plan of God. He died because God the Father designed a plan whereby the death of Jesus Christ would satisfy God's righteous judgment. And that the satisfied justice of God would allow grace to be extended to all of humanity. That's why Jesus died. And we see in 1 Peter 3:18, and this is my translation. Some of you are using different Bible translations, but I like the New American Standard. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. That's going to be our second verse for this coming week. And it's, there's so much doctrine in this verse. And it's a verse that we can celebrate. It's a verse we can rejoice over. Christ also died for sins once for all. You know how powerful that is? How eternal that is? You know, in the Old Testament, they kept going back year after year after year after year. On the Day of Atonement. And every year, there's another reminder about sins. And that covered their nation. Their nation was made holy for a following year, but next year was time to do it again. Year after year after year. Jesus Christ comes once and for all. And when He dies, the veil of the temple is rent in two, as if God the Father is adding the exclamation point to Jesus Christ, "It is finished." It's a beautiful thing to think about. Once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God. He might bring us to God. This is why He's done it, that He could be the firstborn of many brethren, that He can bring us to His Father. Having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. So there's a fun verse. And the Greek is kind of fun, too, to look at that. What's our other one for this week? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. These verses are important not only to memorize, but to understand the meaning of them and then to use them in your witnessing opportunities, in your conversations. We already determined last week that all have sinned, right, and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody's a sinner. So what's the answer? What's the provision? Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that as a sinner, they're sentenced to die. As a sinner, they're under the condemnation Adam was under, death. And as a sinner, we all are destined for hell. We have no business even thinking about heaven. But the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's the answer for the sin problem. Okay, we don't have to try to work our way to heaven. We just have to accept the free gift. And we'll talk about how do you accept that free gift next week when we get into those verses. All right? We know it's by grace through faith. We know it's believing the promises, trusting in the Father. So the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So are we clear on this? Do you think you could explain that to your friend on the playground? What's wages? What does it mean when I say the wages? What are wages? Got to make sure we understand that. Now, the adults that have a job don't understand what wages are, right? But children, have you had jobs before? Do you know what wages are? Wages are what you get paid. Wages are what you earn when you work for something. Who here has had a job? Talking about the little guys now tonight. Anyone? Chores even for your parents? Anything? Anyone? Babysitting? Hamster sitting? Something? Okay. Zoe, what have you done for a job? Mop the floors. Okay, cool. And what's the wages for mopping the floors? There's a little different economy depending on what house you're in or how old you are. Okay. Okay, that's fine. Andres, how about you? Have you had a job? Have you made money doing something? Really? You take the snake skin out of the snake's cage. Okay, his old skin, he's not using anymore. Okay. Wow. And you earn wages for that? Okay, a healthier snake. That's a good wage. Okay. I like that. Well, you know, when I was a kid, I did everything under the sun. I did a paper route. I cut grass. I mean, I was probably pretty pathetic. I imagine the whole neighborhood would just laugh, and oh, here's this kid that keeps begging for money. But I'd do anything, you know, babysitting, pet sitting, house sitting. I could sit different things, and I just wanted, you know, earn some money as far as that goes. But that's what wages are. Wages means you've worked for it, and this is what you deserve. On the opposite of that is the free gift. And this is what's so beautiful, because none of us can work to get saved. There are no wages for salvation. There's only wages for death. There's only wages for sin. There's only wages for a life without Christ. And if you want to continue operating, if an unbeliever wants to keep operating on the basis of what he's earned or deserved, that's a hopeless destiny right there. But when you want to depart from that economy and go to the grace economy, where it's not about what you've earned or deserved, it's what about Christ accomplished on your behalf. And if you want to just simply accept a free gift, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is wonderful. This is so sweet and so amazing. You can't pay for it ahead of time. You can't pay for it at the time. You can't make up to God for it after the fact. It's a free gift. Christ paid it. We receive the benefits. And that's the blessing that we have there in Christ. All right. So the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You think you can get these down by next week? You anticipate any tough one? First Peter 1 could be pretty tough. It's longer than Romans 6:23, isn't it? All right? But work on it. Are you working on it with your mom and dad? Are you working on it with brothers and sisters? Are you working on it on Sunday mornings with Fallon and Radley? Okay. If you come on Wednesday night, you can work on it with me. All right? Excellent. Excellent. Any questions on these verses so far? We're a little bit early, but any questions so far on these verses? No? Okay. All right. Well, tell you what, this is early, but we've covered the material. Let's close in prayer, and then we can visit. You don't have to run away right away. We can visit. We can fellowship. We can work on these verses. If anyone wants to sing some more, maybe Jacob will teach us more singing tricks, techniques, methods. No? Oh, Shannon, we're counting on you to help too. Come on. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. And again, I thank you for husbands and wives, fathers and mothers. Thank you for every believer that's here hiding the word in their heart. I thank you that we can fellowship over these things. I thank you, Father, that you made this plan of salvation possible and your Son made it possible because he was willing to execute the plan that you designed. And Father, you were willing to sacrifice your Son, but your Son was willing to be the sacrifice. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you that because of what your Son accomplished, Father, each one of us can have this eternal life with you, with him. Father, I thank you that this is a class a little bit different than what we do on Sunday mornings, different than what we do on Wednesdays. It's a class where we're all together, from the youngest of our believers to the oldest. And Father, we all can come together with the Scriptures, hiding this in our heart, and I thank you for it. Father, I pray that you would continue to bless us in the weeks ahead as we continue to study, as we continue to memorize. Father, it's not an occasion for showing off or an occasion for demonstrating how much we know. But Father, it's an occasion to celebrate how you graciously allow us to learn these things. We want to learn them so we can live them, Father. And I pray that with our knowledge we would learn the love that edifies. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.